The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Good morning. Welcome to the Navigating Your Life Show, featuring host Dr. Nathaniel J. Williams. In the next hour, the goal of the show is to help you with the challenges facing you and potentially change your life forever. Now, here's Dr. Nathaniel J. Williams.
Well, good morning, and thank you all for joining us. We have a really interesting show today. As we all know, that we've gone through some really tough times recently with the economy and all that's gone on for a little bit over a year and a half or so, and sometimes, in some cases, a little bit longer than that. We've heard this week in the United States that our unemployment is the highest it's been since 1983 at 10.2%, and some cities around the country it's actually higher than that, and for some segments of our population, even higher. So we wanted to put together some information for all of us who are trying to navigate life and make sure we're spending our money well. We wanted to put together a show that would concentrate on that as a topic. So today we're going to be talking with the author of a wonderful book titled Simply Fantastic, Living Better on Less. And so we have with us today Leslie Voth, who is the author of that book. So, Leslie, welcome.
Good morning. Good morning, Nathaniel.
Wonderful. And you're going to hear a little bit of an accent from Leslie as she talks today, because she has two homes that she is living in. One is New Zealand, as well as, I'm sorry,
Australia,
as well as the United States. So we're so glad that she's able to join us. Let me just give you a little bit of background on Leslie. Lots of times when we have guests on shows, we give this long dissertation about their degrees and where they went to school. And Leslie wants it to be clearly known that she went to the School of Hard Knocks, and the information that she's going to share with you today is just from her life experience. And I sometimes think that that is the most powerful information that we can have offered to us, is just speaking, people speaking from their own experience. And so she's going to tell us how she learned to live better on less, so she'll share with us how she did that. And in Australia, her family developed a kiwi farm in New Zealand, and was also dabbled in real estate in Australia. So there have been several things that she's done during her life that have made it really clear that this is something that she needed to do. She also has a wonderful passion for Harley-Davidson motorcycles. For those of you that don't know, there is probably no more committed customer in the world than a person who is the owner of a Harley-Davidson motorcycle. They will do some really, really strong connected things to that product, and lots of times in business schools you're made to study that phenomenon, because anyone that's willing to write on their body Harley Davidson, it really shows that they love the product and that the product's not going anywhere. So without further ado, we're now going to begin our conversation with Leslie talking about her wonderful book. So, Leslie, could you know, I think I've given a little bit of an overview of why you wrote the book, but is there anything you want to add as to what the genesis of putting this information was all about?
Well, it happened really about a year ago, and I was noticing that the news was telling us about our recession coming, but I was still noticing people were spending up still big in the supermarkets and the malls. So I thought, I was getting rather concerned about it, so what I thought I'd do is I'd write a book to, number one, to make them realize that it's a never-ending disease if we just keep on spending. And I wanted to empower people to actually start changing their lifestyle and start to take action and realize that if they didn't start reducing their debt, that in the big picture they would be in a lot of strife. And I wanted them to realize that it's achievable, even if they take very small steps to begin with. Because, you know, a lot of people have created a big debt for themselves, and it's become overwhelming for them, and it's very hard for them to make that first step because, you know, we've had it so good for so long that we keep thinking that, it's going to be all right. It's, you know, it'll work itself out. But I don't think it's going to work itself out, and I don't want to be pessimistic, but I think we've really only just had a taste of what is to come, and I think I really truly want to see people prepared for what's in the future.
And Leslie, you bring up a very, very good point, and I was watching some commentary over the last couple of weeks that has made it very clear by several different people that as we know it in our lifetime, we will probably never go back to the level of spending and living, and some people believe the prices of houses that we once experienced, that they don't ever think that that will recover. That we, you know, people are feeling that there were some very, very strong lessons that have been learned from this recession and this rebalancing in our economy, that it's going to forever change us and how we do things. And so I think your point is well taken, that you know, sometimes we just have to hold tight and things will get better again. But there are a lot of people out there from all different walks of life that really do believe that those days will never be seen again, because it's just been so much that's been learned, and so many companies have had to go through some changes and closures and realignments. And even, you know, recently there have been some companies that are doing well that have still had to lay off 7% of their workforce. So it's I think your point is well taken, that these are tough times, and the times may go on for quite a long period.
Well, you're right. I don't think it'll ever return back to what it was, and I really don't hope. I hope that it doesn't. Because I'm thinking that people are living well beyond their means. They're not enjoying the possessions that they have. They're not enjoying their families the way they should, because of the stress of the debt. And stress is really such a destructive thing, and it destroys families. It destroys the relationship with your children. And most of the possessions we have, we don't need. And there's a saying, it's a he who buys that does not need steals from himself. And it's so true, because when we keep buying things we don't need, we're actually spending money that we don't have. And it digs a bigger and bigger hole for everybody. And it just affects everything. It affects the family, as I said, the families and relationships.
Sure.
And I hope we don't go back to that. I hope everybody starts being far more sensible about their spending.
And Leslie, when you hear, let's say, religious people talking about prosperity and looking at it from that standpoint, do you think that that's helpful way of approaching things from a spiritual standpoint, that God wanted you to have everything and more, or do you think that that's part of the challenge or somewhere in between?
I think it's a great message, because it's a positive message, but I think people have to realize is that God means the things that are tangible and touchable and enjoyable, not things that that we don't use, extravagant when we can't afford it. I think
you're buying a house, and there are rooms in that house that you'll never use.
Absolutely.
Places you'll never go. Is that what you mean, Leslie?
Absolutely, absolutely.
And cars that you'll buy that you really will never, you know, use, and there are other people there that you walk on the highway, as I did last week, and it was raining, and this, you know, poor person was walking with no umbrella.
Yeah.
So when you're sitting there and you have a car in your garage that you don't use, it just doesn't seem to make sense when this
doesn't make sense.
Is trying
it doesn't
to get
make sense when you owe money on it.
Sure.
And
one of the other things that a friend told me, and I just thought it was a powerful way of looking at it, she said, you know, when you get paid, pay yourself first, and then everybody after that. And I just thought, you know, that was a very brilliant way of looking at it. What are your thoughts about that, Leslie?
Definitely. And the thing is, too, is that not only pay yourself first, other than the fact that you need to tithe as well, but you need to put a percentage of cash away for yourself as well. Because, you know, if you get into a difficult position where, okay, your credit card's not working, and maybe you've lost your job, which is, you know, a case of last week, 512,000 people, and you go somewhere, and if you haven't got any cash, you're basically, as I say, you're up the creek without a paddle, because what can you do?
Right. So and also one of the things, Leslie, that people forget about is when it comes to cash and the ability to access cash, is we live in a world that, you know, that has emergencies all the time.
Yep.
And we rely on so many things that are, you know, connected to technology. But if that technology is not working,
yep,
and you don't have cash or the ability to get to it, you may find yourself in a very, very tough spot. So just from an emergency preparedness standpoint as well, it's important to keep in mind that having access to something, to cash that's liquid, is also important. Would you agree, Leslie?
Oh, absolutely. And I mean, I don't know if anyone watched 60 Minutes last night, but they were talking about hackers. Now, you know, what an opportunity to cripple a country by hacking into the banking system and no one being able to get any cash out of your ATM. The thing is, you know, in the old days they used to talk about the tin of money underneath the bed. Well, then, you know, maybe sometimes it might be a little necessary these days just to have some cash somewhere.
Sure.
Hidden somewhere, so that if, as you say, if there's an emergency, you have got cash. Because if you haven't got any credit and your debit card's not working, then, you know, as you say, you're in a bit of a problem.
Sure. And we have about 2 minutes, about a minute and a half, actually, before we go to break. But I just want to pose this question to you on this side of the commercials is, why do you think this is so difficult for people to get? What is it about, you know, trying to live within your means? What I've always encouraged people to do is to operate as if you had the position just before the one you have now, or the income. You know, don't live up to where you are now. Live, you know, if you're, you know, a supervisor, live when you were the line staff person. And if you're, you know, a director, live like you were a supervisor. But really be very mindful of trying not to, as you said, max all the things you have out, you know, all the credit cards or all the lines of credit that are available to you, I mean, as well as the cash, but try not to go beyond that. But what, in the 30 seconds we have before we have a break, what do you think is the one reason why that's so difficult for people?
Well, it's really started after World War II, you know, where we've always been encouraged to spend more money and spend money that we don't have. It's been encouraged by finance companies, banks. That's why they've made so much money over the years. And,
okay, we'll finish this conversation on the other side of the commercial.
Okay.
The Internet's number one talk station. Number one talk station. VoiceAmerica.com.
Hyperbike Performance Centers, the extreme motorcycle tuning facility for performance-minded riders. For the most advanced tuning possible, bring your bike in for a diagnostic in their climate-controlled dyno room. Take advantage of their suspension services designed to tweak your bike's suspension till it fits your personal riding needs. All of their performance products are tested in their facility first. Brakes, wheels, alarms, GPS, and more. Hyperbike Performance Centers on Route 40 West, Frederick, or visit hyperbikeperformancecenters.com.
Wielding power, shaping environments and outcomes, and making things happen are all essential characteristics of great leaders. Yet these qualities alone are not enough to ensure your success. In a complex world, how do you decide what's most important to you? In your career, your relationships, your finances, your family, in the world around you, in the whole of your life at large? Dr. Joseph Riggio, the host of Leadership Intuition, says that personal leadership, the desire to take charge of your life, is the key to creating futures that work and building a life worth living. Join Joseph. Joseph as he revealed the power of uncovering and living your own personal mythology, the key to personal transformation, exquisite performance, and social influence. Learn to look inside and discover your personal mythology and unique leadership style. Go beyond conventional advice and discover your unique success blueprint on Leadership Intuitions with Dr. Joseph Riggio each Friday at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern on the Voice America channel. Leadership Intuitions, power, achievement, relationships.
Hey, Dad.
What?
I can't get the ketchup bottle open.
Here, let me try. Here you go.
Thanks.
You don't have to be a hero to be a hero. When you adopt a child from foster care, just being there makes all the difference. To learn more, call 1-888-200-4005. A public service announcement brought to you by Adopt U.S. Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Ask the experts. Call toll-free right now, 1-866-472-5787.
Hello?
And ask our All-Star team to answer your questions. That's 1-866-472-5787.
Thank you for calling.
VoiceAmerica.com. Tuned in to the Navigating Your Life Show with Dr. Nathaniel J. Williams. To participate in our discussion, please call 1-866-472-5788. That's 1-866-472-5788. You may also send an email to host@navigatingyourlifeshow.net. Now, back to the program.
Well, welcome back. As we were going out for a commercial in our break, I was asking Leslie Voth, who is the author of Simply Fantastic, Living Better on Less, about why we find this inability to live within our means. And she was beginning to talk about World War II having an impact on that. So, Leslie, why don't you finish your thought?
Well, it basically started after the World War II, where, banks and finance companies were promoting buying things on hire purchase, which is something my father and his generation never heard of, and really found it very hard to accept because, you know, as they always said, it was a danger, and it is a danger, and it's turned out to be a danger. But on the other hand, I think if most people now, if there's two wages coming into the house, if they start thinking about putting one wage away and learning to live off the other wage, I think they'll start to see, you know, get their heads above the water, and they'll start seeing an improvement in their debt and be able to reduce their debt. But if they don't start thinking about every cent that they spend now, they're not going to be in a great position in 12 months. What I'd like to see most people is if they're in a better position financially next year than they are now. And if that's the case, then their people are moving forward. I'm thinking, don't take too much notice of the media and bureaucrats. Just worry about your own debt. You know, the world debt will take after it. It'll look after itself. But you need to look after you and your family first.
And you know, I think you bring up a very good point about, you know, playing some sort of, for lack of a better term, mind game with yourself about your finances, and really trying to kid yourself into believing that you are, you know, at a lower income, or taking away that, you know, the second income that you may have that's coming into the house. But I also know that you have some thoughts and information for people who may be a single head of household with some dependents, or just really themselves. What would a person who really just has to live within the means because they're the only person bringing in income in the house, what are some of the kinds of things that you suggest in your book for people that really have no choice but to live within the dollars that are coming in?
Well, number one, of course, don't use your credit card. Make that a definite no-no, especially...
And why not, Leslie?
Well, because you're going to start digging... If you can't pay off that monthly payment with the bank, you're going to start digging yourself such a big hole you're never going to get out of, because the bank fees are exorbitant. I mean, I'm not a great fan of the banks, so, because I don't believe they're there to help their customers. So, But I do think that it'll just, the bank fees will just keep drowning you. So that is one thing, is just don't use it. Leave it at home, especially if you can't pay those monthly fees.
And I think, Leslie, your point is well supported by people not realizing that the banks have, they understand that you pay yourself first. They understand that principle.
Yes.
Because you're paying, you know, the interest before you're even touching, and sometimes you're, you know, when you look at what the interest that you're paying versus the principal, the money you borrow that you're paying back, it'll take you a lifetime to, you know, to pay that back. And I didn't realize that until my wife and I bought a house, and about 10 years later, we ended up selling it. And I was like, boy, I bought it for, you know, 100, and I owe 96, and it's 10 years later. Something's wrong with the picture here. Someone made a mistake, and when you look back at the schedule, you know, so much of that money over the first 10 years was going toward the interest. So they,
that's right,
you know, they make you pay all of that off first, and then they, I was thinking like it's half and half, half interest, half principal, and that wasn't the case. So I think, you know, it's so important to understand that your point that, you know, some of these financial institutions really have to take care of themselves first, as we should be doing, and recognizing the arrangements we get in sometimes may hurt us more than help us.
That's right. And another thing is, too, is that people have to realize every time they eat out or every time they buy a bottle of wine or go and buy some clothing, they're paying that off for months and maybe years to come.
Right.
And that is...
That's probably the longest meal they ever had.
Yeah, that's right. And it's one of the main causes of a lot of the debt is the continual eating out. And I suggest, you know, at the moment to sort of make a start on this is to actually maybe make a pact with the family that they don't eat out for a year or maybe...
Leslie, you're going
to... You're hard, but a month
you're
or a week.
Start, Leslie, you're going to start a riot here at my office because every day we spend, I don't know how many minutes trying to figure out where we're going to order from. And but I think you're right. I think the reality is that is a lot of... disposable income that could be used in a different kind of way. And one lady walked in the office today, Kelly, with her salad and her Tupperware, and that's the kind of discipline that we really do need to have. And I think not only financially, but also on the health side, I think that would go such a long way to living better by eating better. But one of the things you say in your book is living well on and living on less. You know, it seems like living well and living on less, they don't seem like they're synonymous with each other. But what do you mean by living well and living on less?
Well, number one is once you start making progress toward reducing your debt, of course you're going to reduce your stress. And as I said, that's such a destructive thing, and it's
and you think about all the fights that go on in marriages and relationships and all the relationships that are, you know, terminated because someone borrowed money and didn't have the ability to pay it back. So
yeah,
when you say living well, you know, I hear you there.
And, you know, I think generally people have to realize that having everything, I mean, the children don't need to have the best of the iPods or the best of the clothes, and that's because at the end of the day, children are very sensible once it's explained to them that, you know, if we keep spending our money like this, we're going to have none, or else you're going to end up with a big debt for the rest of your life. I think it's important that they understand that, you know, that they enjoy their parents a little bit more. You know, like it's been an experiment that when parents walk in the door in the evenings, the children will always look at their parents' face to see whether it's a look of approval or a look of love. And I think a lot of times parents walk into their house and their children are watching TV or a game and they don't even look up because they've been walking in that house for so long with a grumpy face,
right,
that the children no longer want to see it anymore. So they lose contact with their family. And that's part of living better on less. And it makes the family happier, and you have more time for each other, and it's just a more conscious living.
Well, Leslie, we have a caller, Mary from Minneapolis.
Yeah.
So I'd like to hear what her questions or comments are. Mary, you're on the line.
Hello.
Hey.
I am a single parent. I heard you talking about that earlier. I don't get any child support or anything, so I'm the sole, you know, support for our small family. And every month, I mean, it's like I'm robbing Peter to pay Paul. I mean, I'm definitely using credit cards all the time.
Yes.
Because I feel like I have to. Can you give me any advice as to how I could possibly even start to not do that, or to start to get out of this debt that I've that I've
well, you know, I would do my due diligence and try and find some financial advisor that can help you with this, because my experience with some people that have done this, it's such a load off their back to get someone that can actually organize their finances. When you keep digging yourself into a hole, it just seems like you're never going to get out of it. And I think if you don't get the right advice, it's so right, you won't get out of it. You really do need help. So,
Leslie, when you say a financial advisor, what are some of the things that they would do with Mary to help her to look at it? And some of the things that come to mind that I've seen is, you know, they'll help you look at, you know, are there any bundling packages out there for you? Let's say your cable and your internet and your phone.
Mm.
Are there some ways in which you could put some more money away with your pension plan where you can get, you know, you put a dollar, they put a dollar. So you're going to get the money on the other side. You possibly, according with the plan, could borrow against it if you needed to in the future. But there's sometimes there's some tax things that you can do that may lessen the burden and give you more flexibility. But they would look at, if I'm correct, Leslie, all of the different parts of your finances and look and see if there's some things that you're doing that you also give you some sensitivities that you may not have, that, you know, this is what you're paying on your interest on your loans. You're paying 25%, 30%, 35%, but just give you some awareness. Am I right, Leslie? Or
yes, definitely. In fact, when I was at the gym this morning, I was noticing there was a credit card relief number that you could ring. So I didn't have a pencil with me, otherwise I was going to write it down to see, you know, that people could probably ring in and get some free advice. I don't know how. I will try and do that, actually, and I'll maybe Twitter the number up sometime. But, yes, and you know, the banks will never help you. The banks will just keep digging that hole for you. So there's no point in going to the bank manager and saying, help me. You need to, you know, get someone, as you said, that'll do a package for you to gather it all together. But other than that, you know, in yourself and your household, you're just going to have to make some sacrifices. You know, you're just going to have to, you know, think about how long you're leaving lights on, or the water you're using, or the power you're using, or a brown bag it to work. Because, you know, even brown bagging to work will save you over $1,000 a year. So it's $1,000 on your credit card that you can pay. It may save you $20 or $30 a month on your power bill. Well, that's more that you can pay off your credit card. But I just really would make a concerted effort. Just make the step. Just take the action anyway, and then you'll kind of feel better in yourself.
Well, Mary, does that make any sense to you?
Yes, it does. I definitely need to start taking some of that advice and moving forward in that area, because it's just silly to continue to pay all the interest that I'm paying on these credit cards and dig myself deeper in that hole. Something has to stop. So
good.
Maybe you could start selling something, like have a garage sale. You know, start trying to accumulate some cash with what you already have.
Mm-hmm.
We'll finish this conversation on the other side of the break.
Oh, okay.
Streaming live, the leader in Internet talk radio, VoiceAmerica.com.
What's it like?
What's it like?
It's lonely.
It's really lonely.
I miss my brother.
I miss my brother.
I'm surrounded by other people, but it's not the same.
I've got other people around me, but it's not the same.
It's pretty scary, but I don't let it rattle me.
It's pretty scary around here, but I don't let it rattle me.
You always have to watch your back.
There's no one to watch my back.
I spend my whole day worried who's out to get me.
I'm always wondering who's out to get me.
But I can take care of myself.
But I can take care of myself.
No matter what, I'll keep my head up.
No matter what, I'll keep my head up.
It's not like I have a choice.
It's not like I have a choice.
This'll all be over in 5 years, 3 months, and 17 days.
This'll all be over in 5 years, 3 months, and 17 days.
Go to jail for a gun crime and your family serves a sentence with you. Something to think about before committing a gun crime. Gun crimes hit home. This message brought to you by Project Safe Neighborhoods and the Ad Council.
Hyperbike Performance Centers, the extreme motorcycle tuning facility for performance-minded riders. For the most advanced tuning possible, bring your bike in for a diagnostic in their climate-controlled dyno room. Take advantage of their suspension services designed to tweak your bike's suspension till it fits your personal riding needs. All of their performance products are tested in their facility first. Brakes, wheels, alarms, GPS, and more. Hyperbike Performance Centers on Route 40 West, Frederick, or visit hyperbikeperformancecenters.com.
Is there truly a lesson in every situation? Can you learn from another person's experiences, or are lessons learned when they only happen to you? Dave Felzer, number one national and number one international best-selling author, challenges listeners to stand tall, to be accountable no matter what the setbacks, and to recommit to enhancing their lives as well as assisting others around them. Listen to The Dave Felzer Show every Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific on the Voice America Radio Network.
Hello?
Hi, Bill? This is George Dewey from up the street.
Oh, hey, George. How you doing?
Good, good. Say, I noticed you've been walking to work these days instead of driving, and I don't quite know how to say this, but...
But what?
But your butt. Your buttocks. Your butt. I think I found your butt on my front lawn. Have you recently lost it?
As a matter of fact, I have, George. It's about time someone noticed.
Well, it was kind of hard to miss, if you know what I mean. Anyways, would you like it back?
Would I like it back? No, not really.
So it's okay if I throw it out?
Sure, that's fine. Take it easy, George.
Small step number 8. Walk instead of driving whenever you can. It's just one of the many small steps you can take to help you become a healthier, well, you. Get started at www.smallstep.gov and take a small step to get healthy.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
The Internet's number one talk station. Number one talk station. VoiceAmerica.com. Tuned in to the Navigating Your Life Show with Dr. Nathaniel J. Williams. To participate in our discussion, please call 1-866-472-5788. That's 1-866-472-5788. You may also send an email to host@navigatingyourlifeshow.net. Now, back to the program.
Well, welcome back, and we still have with us Mary from Minneapolis. We wanted to keep her on the line because I think that she was raising some really very powerful questions and comments. And so, Mary, are you still there? Oh, Mary hung up. But there were some things that Mary had mentioned, Leslie, and we have Leslie, the author of Simply Fantastic, Living Better on Less, that we wanted to just offer some thoughts on. And one of the things that Mary talked about is about being a single parent and having to carry the full load of the children on her own. And during the break, Leslie and I were talking about, you know, could that be part of what a financial advisor would share with them, is that they possibly consider looking at trying to get the other parent to share in some of the cost in a formal or informal way. What do you think about that, Leslie?
I think a financial advisor would certainly advise her to make some effort to try and get some money from the father of the children, because, I mean, number one, it's not fair, and number two, she really is not going to survive. And as I said to you, Nathaniel, she's never going to enjoy those children. She's never going, because she's going to be so stressed out, worried about how she's paying the bills. I mean, you know, if it was me, I'd be having a lot of sleepless nights as well. And you kind of, in the end, begrudge your children because you've had to spend your life supporting them. And as much as she really loves them, it's probably it's a burden to her, and it really is a burden that the children will carry as well.
Wow. And also, you know, one of the things, at least in the state of Pennsylvania, I know Leslie's calling in from Texas, and every state's different, But we've had some individuals who have made not a lot of money, but not a small amount of money either, that have had children, and sometimes they'll receive a couple hundred dollars a month as a stipend from the state to help with health insurance, and again, that relieves some of the burden that they have to contribute toward that. So there are programs out there that may help to provide to fill some of the gaps that exist in individuals who are single parents who are also working. So it's important to take the time to look, see what's out there. And so often I think we take on these responsibilities because we feel it's what we have to do. But honestly, if there's some help out there that you can get that can lessen your load so that you can help plan for their college future or some of the other things that may not have any resources available, I think it's important to do so. So I hope that Mary finds this information helpful, and I appreciate all you've shared there, Leslie. But let's get on back to some of the things that are talked about in your book. So it says here that, you know, we should talk a little bit about if you're short on money, what are some of the things that you should never do? If you find that, hey, it's, you know, payday's Friday, but it's Tuesday and I'm all out of money, what are some things you should never do?
Well, of course, as I said before, never, never use your credit card. Leave it at home. But and another thing, too, is don't verbalize, I can't afford it because I'm broke. I just don't like to hear people verbalize it because, it to me, it brings that to them. So, and when you're watching TV at nighttime and there's infomercials on, go lock that credit card up. Don't use that either for that. And, of course, and then you've got restaurants, expensive restaurants. You're no longer going in expensive restaurants. If you travel, you're definitely no longer going business class. You're at the back of the plane. And another and very important thing is never to be drawn into investments that you think are going to make you money and get you out of trouble, especially investments you don't know anything about. Because if this, as the old saying is, if it sounds too good to be true, it probably is. And you can get yourself into some, you know, a lot of strife.
And I would think, Leslie, you would agree as well that anything related to a payday loan, and some of these other things where you can put your title of your car or your paycheck or some other stuff or pawning jewelry, and I would think those are things you should never do as well.
No, never. Don't even contemplate it. It's not, you know, it's such a danger to do that sort of thing, and all you're doing is you're just putting off the inevitable. You have to pay somebody, and in the end, you're usually paying those people more than what the money that you get from
sure.
them anyway.
Sure.
But, and, you know, as I said, don't spend all your cash. Stash it. Because, you know, if you've got no credit card and you've got no, can't get cash, well then, you know, as I say, you're in strife.
You've mentioned some of these things already, but, you know, hiding their credit card, not taking it with you to work. What are some other things you can do to just try to give you some more discipline as it relates to cash as well as credit cards and any other kind of money that's been borrowed?
Well, you know, it comes back to everything, really. It comes back to your car, not spending too much money on your car and your fuel and, you know, where you're traveling. And then forego in lots of places. If you can't afford to go somewhere or do something, just don't go. You know, there's things to do at home. You can go to a park or, you know, a place that you can, play with the children or whatever. But just think about what you're using in your house, like your power system and your water. And as I said before, with the little things that you can save, they may seem little, but by the end of the year, you're probably saving thousands of dollars. You're saving thousands of dollars in interest and bank fees, and you're also reducing your credit card debt.
And would you say a person should live totally debt-free and should not have credit cards? What are your thoughts about that? A person can infer from what you said is maybe, you know, you shouldn't have these kinds of things because it's not really to your benefit. What are your thoughts on that, Leslie?
It's unfortunate that, you know, a credit card has become an essential item because, you know, in some cases, because if you go to a hotel, they want your credit card. They won't. You can't leave cash at a desk at a hotel. They want your credit card. So, you know, in some cases, you need to use it as some sort of security. But other than that, I really don't think that that the credit card is going to be of any help whatsoever. In fact, it's going to get you more and more into debt. But basically, you need to think about spending less than you earn. That's basically my motto, is that you can spend less than you earn, then you're just going to keep making a headway.
We have another caller. We have Amy calling in from California. So let's get her before we get ready to take another break. Amy, welcome.
Yeah, thank you. I have a quick question. One thing that I've been doing recently because of my desire not to use credit cards is that certain stores where I go, if I really want an item and I know that, you know, I can't really afford it outright, I've been asking about layaway plans and paying it off over 3-4 weeks. Is that advisable or is that kind of the same thing where you really should try
excellent.
To avoid?
No, that is excellent. That's really an old-fashioned one, and I was actually reading in the newspaper the other day that it's actually a system that's coming back, because what's happening is that rather than people putting everything on their credit card for Christmas, they're starting to look for gifts and laying them away and putting, you know, maybe $5. That's probably what you're doing, is it, putting $5
mm-hmm.
on?
Yeah, and the thing that I found is stores where you wouldn't even expect it. If you ask, they make the arrangements for you.
Look, I think you'll find all the stores are going to do it this Christmas, because I think they may have a lean Christmas. So, and I think they're preparing for it. I know Walmart's doing it, and I know Dillard's and some of those other big stores, they're all advertising. And, it's an excellent idea.
And Amy, how did you decide that you were going to spend it as opposed to putting it on layaway? How did you decide that this was something you really needed to spend your hard-earned money on? What did you use
That's another thing. My criteria is I go home and think about it. And if I think about it and I look at it like the item will, in the end, pay for itself for what I need to use it for, even if it's clothing. If I know I'm going to get so many wears out of it, et cetera, I'll go back to the store and I'll say, may I put this on layaway? And I'm finding that they allow it because I just don't want to use credit cards.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, that's excellent. It's such a good idea, and I'd love to see more people do that for Christmas, because what happens is that you start using that credit card at Christmas time. Come January, come February, that's when the pain happens. You know, a lot of people have to pay their taxes in over here now, I think, too. Isn't it January, February?
Oh, you have until April 15th.
Yeah, and then they've got their credit card debt from Christmas. And, you know, you have that credit card, and you go into the shops, and I don't care who it is, we overspend on credit cards. We buy that little bit extra expensive item where you have on lay-by. You know, and it gives you time. I'm not sure about what the conditions are, but if you really decide you don't want that, sometimes you can exchange it for another article. I'm not sure, but you'd have to find that out. But it is. I think you're very wise.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate that.
Very
thank
good.
You.
Very good. Thanks for calling, Amy.
Thank you.
So. Let's proceed. We have about 2 minutes till we take another break. And actually, we have another caller, Kent, from San Diego. Why don't we try to squeeze him in before we take a break?
Sure.
Kent, do you have a question or comment?
Yeah, I do have a question for your guest. My ex-wife, she's a single mom. I'm a single dad. She is a resident at a hospital. And with her income and her expenses, she's actually a little cash flow negative each month. This is a rare situation where I'm actually recommending to her to use credit cards and actually increase her credit card debt just to get through till when she becomes a doctor, when she'll see her income literally quadruple. Do you agree with that? Literally her basic expenses, you know, she can't get them down anymore. The mistake she made is she bought a new car, and so that got her into this spot. What do you think?
It's just unfortunate that she needed to do that, because, you know, I think if you can't afford it, then maybe she could sell the car and get a used vehicle to maybe bring down her debt. But I don't know. Do you have to pay for your tuition to become a doctor? Is she got another, a fee after, you know, for her studies and that, other than living?
Will they start hitting once she graduates all that, or is she going to go into a program where those things will be waived because she's going?
Oh yeah, she actually doesn't have any medical school debt. It's just her credit card debt.
Wow, she's lucky. So your feeling is hold tight, and we'll get to the other side, and she'll be able to pick up maybe some of these things and bring. And if, I guess if the commitment is there, Kent, to reduce that credit card and bring those limits down on the other side, then the discipline may be there to. It may actually work out because it looks things look very promising there.
Yeah, it's really just a kind of fill a bridge. Cash flow need in
right.
the short term.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
We have to go take a break. Kent, thank you so much for calling in, and we're going to be back on the other side to finish up our time with Leslie Voth, who's the author of Simply Fantastic, Living Better on Less.
Stimulating talk.
It gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time. The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
And we're back. Bob from Scranton, you're on the air.
Hi, Ted. Love the show. Longtime listener. First time caller.
Thanks, Bob. Is there a special someone out there you'd like to talk about?
There is, Ted. I recently lost a very big part of my life.
You'd been together a long time?
Since college. This is for my belly, my paunch, my spare tire. I know we had some good times. God knows I'll never forget that night in Albuquerque with the burritos.
It's never easy to lose something that's been such a huge part of you, Bob. Where'd the magic go?
Well, I'd recently begun taking the stairs more and more instead of the elevator, and then we started seeing less and less of each other. One day, it was just gone.
Small step number 67. Take the stairs instead of the elevator or escalator. It's just one of the many small steps you can take to help you become a healthier, well, you. Get started at www.smallstep.gov and take a small step to get healthy.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Hyperbike Performance Centers, the extreme motorcycle tuning facility for performance-minded riders. For the most advanced tuning possible, bring your bike in for a diagnostic in their climate-controlled dyno room. Take advantage of their suspension services designed to tweak your bike's suspension till it fits your personal riding needs. All of their performance products are tested in their facility first. Brakes, wheels, alarms, GPS, and more. Hyperbike Performance Centers on Route 40 West, Frederick, or visit hyperbikeperformancecenters.com.
The Internet's number one talk station.
Number one talk station.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Tuned in to the Navigating Your Life show with Dr. Nathaniel J. Williams. To participate in our discussion, please call 1-866-472-5788. That's 1-866-472-5788. You may also send an email to host@navigatingyourlifeshow.net. Now, back to the program.
Well, thank you for joining us again. As I mentioned, we have Leslie Voth, who is the author of Simply Fantastic, a book about living better on less, that Leslie has, I think you published this in 2009. Yes, you did.
That's right, yes.
So it's a recent book, and it has lots of wonderful, helpful tips. I think I saw this book for about $13 or $14 on Amazon.
That's
so it's a relatively inexpensive purchase. And with all the stuff that is contained in it, it's about 200 pages of very insightful information. And why don't you just give a little taste to our listeners, Leslie, about what are some of the suggestions that you have in your book that they may find appealing?
Well, there's lots of little things like your dishwasher. Instead of ending the dishwasher with the heating system where it heats all the dishes to dry them, leave that off. And maybe another one is showering. If you can just cut your shower down by 2 or 3 minutes, you can actually, statistics say that you can actually save 36,000 gallons a year. So that's a lot of water, and it's probably doesn't mean a lot dollar-wise, but even if it's $30, $40, $50 a year, it's something that can be paid off your debt. like when you put your kettle on. I think you call it a kettle here.
Your teapot.
Filling the whole jug with water, just fill it. Say if you're only going to have two or three cups, put two or three cups of water in it. That
sure.
saves a lot of power. And I had a friend that that brought up three children, and she had no basic income from her husband, and she worked as a waitress. And in Australia, they actually earn a little bit more than they do here, but still, she ended up, I mean, I think she's 60 now, and she owns her own home. But they used to eat their meals by candlelight at night, and but to save power, and they used to, obviously they used to shower together, I think, to save the water as well. But depending on the size of your family, maybe you could cut down the washing. Instead of washing every second day, maybe make it, like in the old days, they used to have one day a week where it was washing day. So it just, it's all those little things that that you take action on that will get your debt down.
And Leslie, those are such valuable points, because I remember going to a house of a friend, and actually sending my sons to the house of a friend for a weekend, and we had a change of clothes for every day that they were going to be there. Mm-hmm. And the person, when we picked them up, said, "What were you thinking? Why would they have to wash a pair of jeans just because they wore them one day? We're not, you know, working in the fields here. They'll be okay." And that was just like, you know, what are you talking about? You wear it one day, you wash it. And so it's simple things like that that we take for granted that really would, you know, allow for us to save some money in the long run. As we get ready to start wrapping up, Leslie, what are some, if you wanted people to take something away from our time together today, what is it that you want them to take away as they look at their finances and life and living well and enjoying what they've worked hard for? What is it that you want them to take away from today's show?
Well, I want them to know that they can do it, that they can be victorious in getting rid of their debt and living a fantastic life. I want everybody to make their average life and make it feel great, you know, because that's basically what we've been put on this earth, as you mentioned at the beginning of this program, that, you know, spiritually we are meant to live in abundance in this world, but we need to take care as well to live abundant. And, you know, abundance for some people, it, you know, can be interpreted in different ways. But for me, I always, when I was bringing my children up, I always enjoyed the simple things. I love mowing my lawns. You know, it's crazy. It seems I used to have a little electric mower, and I used to love going out and mowing my lawns. It was one of my greatest pleasures. If I was a bit stressed about something, that's what I used to go out and do. That's not everybody else's idea, of course.
When you say electric mower, every time I ever try to cut anything electric, I don't know what it does. It's like a magnet with that cord.
I'm in tool mower. You know, we call the electric mower with the, you know, the motor mower.
Oh, okay.
The motor mower. But yes, I've always looked at those electric mowers and wondered how on earth they get around the lawn without chopping that.
There's enough chop cords out there to weave a nice basket there.
Yeah.
One of the things I want to make sure our listeners are aware of is if they wanted to reach out to Leslie and find out more about her wisdom, you can reach her at Leslie, and let me spell her first name. It's Lesley at simplyfantasticbooks.com. And then her website is also simplyfantasticbooks, all one word, .com. And as I mentioned earlier, you can buy the book at Amazon online for about $13.99. So it's available there for you to get. And I would tell you that, you know, just as a conversation piece to sit around and to talk, you know, a lot of people sometimes go to parties during the holidays and there's nothing to talk about, but I would even find this wonderful index here as a way to have some conversation pieces to sit around and to brainstorm and to think about, you know, because I think it just brings some really, really good points to the table for people to converse about. And Leslie, what do you think is, you know, we've talked about all this very positive information that hopefully people will use. What do you think is a barrier? You know, your book and your information and your insights, what do you think is the biggest thing that's stopping this stuff from sticking to people and affecting their actions and what they do going forth? Why would this not sink in?
Well, because it hasn't hurt them enough yet. Because if you're hurting, and I've been in that situation before, if you haven't got $10 to go down to the grocery shop and buy some food, then you're hurting. And so it's until you hurt, then people won't start. It's like the people losing their jobs now. And this is a message I really, really would like them to have too, is that if you've lost your job, don't just sit back and think, oh, I'll have a break for 4 months or 2 months. Look for a job now. Don't wait, because you don't know what the job situation is going to be like.
So sitting back and collecting that unemployment because it's available to you, but if there's something that can come in that can, you know, you can get sooner than later, even though you're entitled to those benefits, you want, if I hear you correctly, you want to grab that.
Absolutely. Don't do it. Just go in and get the jobs. And the thing is, too, is if there's no jobs, I have a friend who's, she's a an engineer. Well, she's very good at math, so she's been taking in students and teaching them, you know, getting them up to scratch with their exams. So, and that's, you know, that's paying her a few dollars an hour. So,
well, Leslie, I want to thank you so much for the information you shared today. It's been very powerful, and I think very liberating, and much in line with the focus of the show, which is to help people navigate their life and to live better. And I thank you for all you have done, and I know the work you will do going into the future. So this is your host, Dr. Nathaniel J. Williams, wishing you the very best. And again, Leslie, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Nathaniel. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks. Talk to you again soon.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you again for listening to the Navigating Your Life Show. Please join Dr. Nathaniel J. Williams again next Monday at 7 a.m. Pacific Time, 10 a.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Variety Channel. Have a great week, and here's hoping your life will change for the better forever.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program, brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.